Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We give Him praise for today. We're having this wonderful time in His presence. Amen.
Amen.
Just to use the best part of the week. Amen. Since it is a holiday, there are many that are going to visit, maybe going out shopping or going to relax. But I can tell you the best place to be is in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And to have fellowship with one another.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Our fellowship is with one another, it's not with others.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Our fellowship is not with others, it's with one another.
Right.
Amen. Amen. When you see what we see, then we can really say we fellowship.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Or else we can have a million people here. It is only 10 that see what God wants them to see. Those are the 10 that are in fellowship.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
I thank the Lord so much for this time that we have shared together in the Word of God, in the blessings of the Lord, the gift of God in our lives as something that maybe sometimes you don't appreciate it, but I can tell you, when you smile to your sister, when you smile to your brother, it is comfort that you are releasing.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever the burdens, whatever the pain may have been, God has a way that He will use you to be a blessing to the other person. Amen.
Right.
I was in Butuan. And we had a very wonderful time in the Lord, Butuan. We enjoyed the presence of the Lord so well. And the day I was going, we stopped by. I was in Kabak Baran because I was always taking to Kabak Baran to fellowship with the brethren and to sleep there. So while we were going that morning, they asked me to stop by. And they made me this t-shirt, myself and Brother Michael. Amen. And when I saw it, I thought, why do you trouble yourself? They said, no, just open it. And when I did open, I had this. So I liked it so much. And I was really saying, when will I put on this t-shirt, you know? You call it a polo, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a t-shirt. Okay, when will I put on this polo? So I just thought about it, okay, maybe this today being just for a house fellowship, because I'm not very comfortable not wearing sleeves. Yeah, you know, but I thank the Lord that the light of the Word of God is touching people around the world, and people are being liberated from that systematic fear of the enemy. It's just something that the enemy does throw in the lives of people, even in the denomination. I can tell you what's really the thing is that people get afraid of their pastor, get afraid of the church board, get afraid. They tell you, look, you don't have to offend, because if you die, they won't bury you. What's important about is being buried? Mm-hmm. You even know where you're being buried. So you don't even know what happened. So the person who dies in a plane crash, if he was a believer, would he not go where he's supposed to go? All those things. When the Lord has finished with this, your body, when He has finished with your ministry, I can tell you, the best thing is to go away. It doesn't matter how you look. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because you, it is not, Peter said, it is better for me to be out of this body. It's better. He said, but for your sake, I'm tarrying a little. Amen.
Amen.
But it's always better. And Jesus said the same thing. It is expedient for me, that for you, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's very better. What the Word of God has done to us in this generation is that He has given us the boldness to see that there is nothing in death. Amen.
Amen.
It's change of address.
Amen. Amen.
And
Hallelujah.
This morning, I want to share with us something that it's our daily, daily, daily living. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Chastisement. Amen. The chastening of the Lord. Hearing the testimonies and everything, I would like to read Psalm 23.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I'll tell you something. I was actually coming to talk about the first fruits. Because I preached it in the other fellowship. I'm going to talk about it just as an attachment. I preached it in the other fellowship. When I came in here, the scripture was read. Amen. So I'll just add that to that. But now, Psalm 23. Very, very popular scripture. Beware of popular scriptures. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah. Beware of, you know, there are some scriptures in the Bible, some passages in the scripture that people can just, you know, all the time, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I can tell you that that scripture contains more than you think.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. God does not love the world that we are looking at.
Yes, correct.
He loves his own world.
Amen.
And that is Christ.
Yes.
Amen. For he came to seek and to find and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
We were with him.
Yes.
Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 17, in him all things do consist.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So he's the container of this. And he said again in John chapter 17 verse 9, say, Father, all that you have given to me, none have been lost.
Amen.
I pray for them. I do not pray for the world.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yeah. Amen.
So he's praying for them, his world.
Amen.
What do you think that the devil showed to Jesus when he took him on the mountain? He showed him the future. He showed him this present day Singapore. He showed him Japan. He showed him everything.
Yes.
He said, bow down, all these great things. Showed him the progression. How women started in the way of their dressing until now. The thing that their grandmother wore in the house, in the secret, they are wearing in the street. He showed all that. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
The Lord have mercy upon us. Amen. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
amen,
I will fear no evil.
Hallelujah.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over.
Amen.
Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we ask your blessings, we ask your blessings, we ask your goodness. Lord, may you speak to us in a language we can understand.
Yes, Lord.
And touch those areas we sometimes think you can't touch in our lives. Touch it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many people have a Pentecostal background here, charismatic. Is there anybody? Okay. Those of us who don't have that background, because of what you have known, the revelation of Jesus Christ, you can understand everything. I can tell you.
Yeah. Amen.
So, we want to talk on. I said, I'm talking about chastisement. How God chastises his children.
Amen.
And then we relate it to how much can the devil really do in your life? The world out there, the church world, I'm talking about, not talking about the Muslim, the church world, they are out, they have a special program that they themselves don't believe. They are out there magnifying Satan.
Yes, yes.
The devil has done everything the devil has done. Do everything the devil. Somebody does something wrong and he's been caught and then he says it was the devil's work.
Right.
Amen.
The devil made him do it.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, so we're going to look at something. First, I want us to turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. And then we're going to talk on the prayers, the actual prayer that God wants, God hears. How the believer should pray in moments like this. Genesis 15, I'm reading verse 12 to 17. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, that's the Lord, know for a surety that thy seed, singular, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
Amen.
And also that that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance.
Amen.
And thou shalt go to be to thy fathers in peace, that is in death. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord called Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. After he met the manifestation of the Lord God in Genesis 14. Now, Lot, Abraham's nephew, followed Abraham because Abraham received a vision and a calling of the Lord.
Amen.
And Lot followed Abraham with the mind that it is going to be in the next few months, all these things will be over. Everybody's glad, excited. Most people are very excited when they say, oh, we are moving to a new place. And then, because we are moving to a new place, it's an excitement. Let us go.
Right.
There were people that came along with Abraham when God called him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, some, for circumstances, probably, somebody like Lot had to be taken care of because he lost his father, who was Abraham's brother. But remember also that Abraham's brother followed Abraham and died on the way, and Lot continued. But this man, they were following the man Abraham. They had no clear understanding of what God wanted to get out of Abraham.
Amen.
And so in the middle of the journey, they were offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What brought about the problem between Abraham and Lot? Abraham had no problem with Lot. It was the headsmen, the preachers under them. Just some arguments and some misunderstanding. And then they started thinking, oh, I don't think we can go together. We can't go together. We can't continue this trip together. And then Abraham did the wise thing. He called Lot. He said, we shouldn't quarrel. The Amorites are watching us.
Yes.
That's what some people don't think about. When there is a problem in the family, if there is a guest or maybe neighbors, I think if we can't be humble enough, we should pretend. Yes. If it can be all pretend, don't show it that it's happening to outsiders.
Yeah.
Because when you will settle, you will not go explain to all these people that you settled. They only saw that, oh, there was a big fight, there was this quarrel, this, that.
Right.
And they tag you by that. So Abraham called Lot and said, no, the whole land is before us. Choose whichever way you want to go. And the young man, amen, he made the biggest mistake,
yes,
of his life.
Right.
I can tell you. It is in Africa, we go to fetch water. We don't have water in the house like this those times, apart from maybe those living in the city. Now, what do you think when the grandma goes to fetch water and then the young lady takes this water and takes her bath and goes out without replacing the water? It's an insult.
Yes.
When the elderly man said, you choose, you should give him the preference of saying, no, sir, you are the one. Give me what you will give me.
Yes.
But because the tendency of going away was already inside of him,
right,
he has made up his mind. He said, yes, it's okay. And he looked with a carnal eyes. Because the moment, the first thing, the desire to choose was already a wrong step to take.
Right.
Because the man Abraham, he was on that particular journey because he refused to choose. If he had chosen what he wanted, he would be in awe in his homeland. But because he has refused to choose and he wants the Lord to give to him, he has followed the Lord foolishly. And everybody around him complained.
Right.
And Abraham, Lot looked, and he saw the greenness of the field, and there are mountains around, and where there will be water. And he chose that. Amen. Indeed, the ground was fertile, and the blessing was there. So when he chose the site, Abraham will not choose again. There is nothing to choose. You take the opposite side. Amen.
Amen.
So Abraham, okay, if you are going that way, take your things and go. And I will face the side. Immediately Lot moved. I can tell you that the Lord removed all the nutrients and all the peace from the left hand side and put it here. And all the dryness here, he put it there for him.
Amen.
Yes. When a tree dies, even 5 months later, you could still see it having some leaves, having some greenness. That doesn't mean it's alive. When you have destroyed it from the foundation.
Yeah.
It's just waiting for a rough wind to come.
Yes.
And it will crash. Anyhow. Abraham went this way. Now, the Bible tells us this. After some time, maybe Lot had prospered, this type of prosperity that has no sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
And he will call Abraham. Father Abraham, how are you, sir? I'm fine. The Lord has been doing so great things to us here. Is that so? The church, you can't believe it. We are looking, we've broken down the first building. We are building a 5,000 man sitter. And in fact, as we are constructing this 5,000 man sitter, 10,000 have made decisions. Testimonies. That's what some people want to hear.
Yeah.
So what's happening over your side, sir? Abraham, we are still waiting. Oh, you are still waiting. Ah, you wait all your life, sir. You still have to be. You're still waiting. Yes. When people don't find a reason to wait, waiting time is a time of test.
Amen.
It's the time that God chastises his children to wait. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord,
hallelujah,
shall renew their strength.
Amen.
But not quite long, Lot got into problem. The land was overtaken by sin because the presence of God was not there.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't go away because he had gathered everything. It would have been wise for him to return back to Abraham and beg him. Say, let me fulfill you. But when the Lord went there to destroy Sodom, Abraham interceded. He made intercession for Lot. He did not care the insult and the pain the young man had put him through.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God wants you to come to the level where you cannot be disappointed by any man.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Something happened. We had a precious brother in Nigeria. And especially my wife was looking up to this brother because he was the nearest to us. When he turned over to the other side, he troubled me many days. I was like sick. And when I called Brother Richard Gunn, I told him, you know, he said to me, forget about it. There's nothing you can do. That is man for you. Mm. But I was worried that, look, this man at this level should not do this. Well, what do you think? Amen. A man is always, will always be a man until the hand of God, the Spirit of God, runs him.
Yes.
So, Abraham prayed for Lot and asked God for the life of Lot. And God honored him. Mm. Now, because Abraham was involved, God decided to be involved in the deliverance of Lot. Whereas, he was to destroy that place. And without the message that the two angels went there to draw Lot out and give him the way that you mustn't look back. Mustn't look back. Without that message, Lot would have been destroyed.
Right. Amen.
And that message came because Abraham communed with God.
Right.
So we find out that when Abraham also, there was a time now, before this time, Abraham went to rescue Lot. Lot was even taken before this time of destruction. Abraham went to rescue Lot. He fought physically with his army of his own household, rescued Lot, and brought him back. And the king of Sodom offered Abraham many things. Abraham rejected.
Right.
But of what he took, the Bible tells us about Melchizedek. And Abraham paid or gave his tithe.
Right.
When he did that, I can tell you, in Genesis chapter 15 verse 1, there was a vision. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen.
Amen.
One thing that the tithe does for us is that it protects us.
Right.
I can tell you that. Amen. It builds a wall. That's why I say, I will devour the devourer for your sake.
Right. Amen.
It builds that wall and circle around you. Amen. So, when he did this, God told him, I am your reward. But Abraham, still in the flesh, reminded God, yes, you are my reward. You keep telling me this, but this Eliezer, he's going to be my head. He's the one that is going to take charge. He said, no. I will give you your own seed from your lions. And then he gave him his son. He said, you take these animals, cut them into two, divide them into two, spread them, and wait, and I'm going to pass by. And while he waited, he was actually driving the vultures and the birds of the air, not to tamper with those things that he has done, because it was an offering. As he waited, he grew weak and he slept off. And when he slept, the vision he saw was a thick darkness.
Right.
No, brother, there is a darkness that is different from the darkness you know.
Yes. Yeah.
The darkness that has shadows. Amen.
Mm. Amen.
I don't know whether you have seen, whether you've entered into certain, in your visions, you've seen some dreams, or you've been to a place. I remember when one of my uncles died, and I was very worried about him, because I knew he wasn't a Christian. And then, after some time, I had a dream. And I went to where he was. The first thing he asked me, he was tied, standing. And he was just standing and his hands were like this. He said, oh, he called me Blessing. That's my first name. Since I came here, they didn't allow me to sit down. What is the time now? That's what he asked me. He said, what is the time? How do you know how long I will be like this?
I was not allowed. The person who took me there did not allow me to touch him. Did not allow me to enter where he was, but I was just standing. I was seeing. And there was darkness. I couldn't see the rest of him, but I saw him. He said, "We are very many here and nobody knows." He said, "Everybody that comes doesn't know, have information of the time. If I ask anybody, say, we've been here for a long time, they can't understand." When people die, when an unbeliever dies, he has, there is nothing, there is no information about it. It's just right. So we find out that this thick darkness, God was showing Abraham a sign. And he interpreted it to him even before the vision went off. He said, "I want you to know, Abraham, that your descendant, your seed, singular, will go to a strange land and they will be in bondage for 400 years. Very precise.
Yes.
Now I want to ask you a question. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, all that time, were they not praying?
Amen.
There's nobody who does not pray in terms of sorrow.
Yeah,
correct.
Right.
Were they not praying?
Yes.
They were praying. They were praying. But I tell you, no prayer can turn the will of God.
Amen.
I want you to understand that.
Right.
No prayer under the sun can change the mind of God.
Hallelujah.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
You say what? That's why Abraham preached the message. Does God ever change his mind concerning his word? You can say, you can point to, what about Ezekiel? What about Balaam? When Balaam went to God to inquire, I ask you, what was the first thing God said? He said, "Don't go."
Yes.
And that was the original.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the original. When God said, "Don't go," that man would have risen himself from where he was and fold whatever and asked that king to get out of his domain.
Right.
But because of reward, he decided to, okay, I'll try. Let me try and convince. We always want to convince God. And when you start asking too much, what do you think he will do?
Mm-hmm.
When he says the order, it means go and have your way.
Right.
Go and have your way. Because he said to Balaam, "Okay, you can go." But right on the way, Balaam had not reached where he was going. The angel stood almost meeting him. Ezekiel, prepare thyself. Put your house in order, for you will die. If Ezekiel had died that moment, Israel would not be in 70 years of bondage in Babylon. Because when Ezekiel rose up from and had the 15 years, immediately he stood up from the bed. You know what happened? He invited these Babylonians and showed them. They showed them his beautiful daughters, his handsome sons, showed them his soldiers, his armor, his vestment, and showed them everything. Even the things in the temple, he showed them, but he did not show them Jehovah.
Right. Amen.
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 Do you see that? He showed them the things in the temple is not Jehovah.
Right.
The garments of the priests, of the priests, please, it's not Jehovah. The burning censer and all the articles in the tabernacle is not Jehovah. The Jehovah God that had given him the life in time of death, he forgot about it.
Yes. Amen.
God said, "Okay, whatever they have seen, they will carry." So because they can't see, they didn't see God, they won't carry God. But whatever they have seen, the same they will take away to their land. Amen.
Amen.
So we find out that looking at Abraham and this vision,
He saw this deep darkness, and the darkness timing was given for 400 years. That we want to bring and consider. Every son that cometh to God must be tested.
Amen.
Yes.
The day you say, so be careful, the day you say, I leave the world, I don't want to be in the world, I am for Christ, you are saying that you have a problem with the devil.
Amen. Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
You have to show by what authority you are doing that.
Amen.
We have a victory. But the victory is an inheritance. Mm. You see, David is a good example. Because David was a man of many troubles. Amen.
Amen.
And there was a time that Jesse, the father of David, called all his children together and shared all that he had. And when he finished sharing, there was nothing given to David than labor. Take care of the few flock in the forest. I can tell you, brothers, we all come from a family. How many of you in your family give the last born child much labor to do? Or a dangerous task as going into the forest in the night? No. Even the most wicked family won't do that.
Yeah.
But I can also tell you the reason was because David's mother was not a proper wife. He being the last, the smallest, at the age of 16, 17, to be exposed to lions and bears.
Amen.
And the wild cold in the night. And Amen. He was the last. If you read the Psalms, you understand this. In Psalm 16, turn your Bible to Psalm 16. Verse 5 and 6. David says here, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance.
Amen.
And of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot.
Hallelujah.
When this man called his sons, there was no need for him to invite David. He was irrelevant. There is no family that is protecting the firstborn against the lastborn. No. Rather, the firstborn is given the task to protect the lastborn. For example, where I come from in my place, my last brother is like my first son. Mm-hmm. So why would I put him in the desert, in the night, for months? We don't know what he's eating. We don't know if he's alive. So when Samuel came that day to appoint sons, one son of Jesse, Jesse did not think. It was not in his mind, because this one, I don't think God will need him, because everything about him is wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. There are people, maybe you have met them, who have the machine to know those who believe the message or not.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
They say they have the machine. Say, that man is not a message believer because they have the machine.
Yeah.
But that's foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because God told Samuel that day, my judgment is not a judgment of sight.
Yes.
David might have been small in the body, but he had a heart to contain God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Samuel came up and they presented the first one. His height was okay. Yes, he looked nearly like Saul. He was a soldier already in the making. Everything was fine. And Jesse was smiling. This is okay, my son. I will be so glad.
He said, no, not this one.
Oh, then if it's not this one, it must be the second. If it's not the second, it must be the third. Fourth, fifth, sixth. Jesse did not suggest to Samuel that there was another person. It was Samuel that was confused, going away, that have I made a mistake? Is this not the house of Jesse?
Amen.
The Lord said, go to the house of Jesse. So he did not, Jesse could not, he was still quiet. But Samuel, check again.
Right.
People want to have a second look. Look at his arm. Look at the size of his head. Look at the size of his feet. Look at him. Look at him a second time. And Jesse, Samuel asked, is there any other, is there no other one apart from this? You know, everybody just goes, there is, but it cannot be him.
That's right.
You know, what will God be doing with that? Yeah, I mean, even we ourselves, we have rejected him, how much more God? I mean, we God see better. Yeah, it can't be him. Say, go and fetch him. Amen.
Amen.
Go and fetch him. Let me tell you something. God, who separated you from your mother's womb? There were many children that died the same day that you were born.
Amen.
There were many miscarriages the same time that you were 3 months, you were 4 months. There were many miscarriages by many women, but you were kept, and then you were born.
Amen.
If you ever want to get to where you are going, if you ever want to know where you are going, you must look into the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You must return back to Him that is the giver of life.
Amen.
And when Samuel saw David, he said, behold, this is the one. Did you people jump here?
No.
They just kept quiet.
Yeah.
Probably there's a mistake somewhere. But watch this. The day that Samuel poured the oil on David, that's the day his troubles happened.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Immediately the oil was poured on him. Did they lift him to go to the palace?
No.
No. Did the father ask him to return back to the house because he was a special child now? No.
No.
Go back. Go back and take care of my few sheep there. Yeah. And he went back. Now, but David was able to appreciate that which he did not understand. That's very important.
Right.
God is watching you in the moment you, he said, I have guided you even when you don't know me. In the moment of your small understanding, he's watching your reaction.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, David, I have been anointed. It was Samuel, that great prophet. Amen. Amen. The last judge of Israel and the one great prophet. So he gathered his few sheep. And now said, okay, now if I'm a king, I must have a lieutenant. You, I call you Boogie. You are my lieutenant. And you are the chief judge. You are the police. Report any of these people, anybody here that is misbehaving. He organized himself. And in the morning, when he wakes up, right about turn. Peter the mouth, left, right. And they said, they'll follow him.
Right.
He believed in what he tried to put it to practice, that I am a king. There can't be a king without subjects.
Amen.
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 Yes.
What is that? God has started testing David. When you need anything from the Lord, you want a fan. How many people needed fan and God gave them fan? It's impossible. It has never happened.
Yes.
Any time that we ask anything from the Lord gives us the portion of His word that will produce that thing.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
When Abraham needed a son, He gave him His word. When Israel needed a king, God sent His word.
Amen.
Right.
Whatever we will need, God will always send His word. And when you can't handle the word, to be patient, to carry the word through in your life, you can receive that thing.
Amen.
The word is the seed.
Yes. Amen.
So if you have a seed of mango, you have a mango tree.
Amen.
You have mango leaves. You have mango fruits. You have mango everything.
Yes.
Yes.
But first, you must handle the seed.
Amen.
Right.
If you put the seed in your pocket, it can't germinate. If you use a seed as a catapult, as a stone to kill birds, you have lost it.
Amen.
You must know what the seed is for.
Yes.
So, David started. He groomed his sheep and then told them what to do and continued. He believed. Now, each time you pass one test, celebrate less because the other test is on the way.
Amen.
Abraham said, after every wonderful Sunday service, he said, just beware and know that the devil is waiting to give you a knock.
Yes.
On Monday.
Yeah. Every day.
So David, he had conquered the bear. He had conquered the lion.
Right.
Okay, if you have done it with the lion and you have done it with the bear, do it with a bear that has a higher bear and a higher lion. And one day, of the fact that he was still in the forest taking care of those few sheep, the parents will still call him to come down to the house. I don't know whether you understand the distance. It's something like from Malaysia down here, just distance, coming down, pick food source and go to the battlefield in Indonesia. One man, use him until he can be wendy. But we find that David did not count it as a punishment. And in the latter part of his life, when Saul was given the problem, the Bible says, and David behaved himself wisely.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen. I don't know if you know that Saul was anointed of the Lord. Yes. He was God anointed. The same hand of Samuel that poured oil on David, poured on Saul. And do you know that David must learn from Saul? Do you know that?
Yes.
Yes. David must be in the palace with Saul and see the affairs of things, how they go.
Right.
Even though Saul doesn't like David, and David is afraid of Saul, they have to meet. Right. Sure. Look at how God trains his children. He puts his children in the care of the enemy.
Amen. That's right.
If you want to, like, sister, if you're listening here, you want to swim. I went swimming in Philippines and I nearly killed the water. Not the water killed me. Because I put the life, what do you call it?
Life buoy.
It's supposed to be here, so I don't know how it fell here. Then when I jumped into the water, my legs were up, my head was down, I was struggling. And they thought I was joking. Amen.
Amen.
You see, even though they don't like each other, but it is very important that you learn.
Amen.
So God put the children of Israel in Egypt.
Yes.
What for? They were punished to build houses and build kingdoms for Ramses. But was it a waste?
No.
When they returned back, out of nothing, they could build many things.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Till today, it is said that the Jews are the best construction engineers in the world.
Yes.
It is something that we carry on.
Hallelujah.
So it showed David went to the battlefront, to the battlefield, to give food to his brothers. And on that day, Goliath was noisy. Anybody, one person. And Saul will come out. Oh, when a man has lost touch with the word of God, there's nothing he can really do. He's useless.
Yes. Amen.
I can tell you, I was telling somebody yesterday. I said, you keep mentioning these names. This. I said, anybody, any preacher that is coming from America and he comes to Africa, he comes there, we would tell him to sit down
Their time has passed.
Yeah. Amen.
You, what were you doing that you didn't hear Brother Brown? You would have heard him in his day. Hear him there.
Yeah,
don't come and tell us his story, how he bought petrol from your father's filling station.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with us.
Exactly.
You see this shirt that I'm wearing, Brother Bram also have this tie. That it has nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
Go and go, if you come to our church, sit down. If even though the pastor is not there to preach, brothers will preach. If there is nothing, we'll clap hands and sing songs. Hear our songs, you'll be blessed. Because God has rejected you people.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
So he came there and Saul stood before the people. And they said, Pastor, when are we going home? He says, no, today is Wednesday. We cannot do much. Let's leave it till Friday. We can pray 2 more days. Fear. Fear keeps you turning.
Amen.
And then when David came, just a little discussion. Saul was already giving in to allow David to go and fight. Can you imagine? Mm. He is not a soldier, but it was the working of the Lord. But you that could not fight Goliath, why do you give David what your tools? You have the tools. Use it to fight.
Right.
You see, I want you to listen to this. God tests you in every time, every minute. And yesterday's anointing is past.
Amen.
Right.
No matter how glorious the meetings were, it has gone. If you are going to come here today, there must be something fresh. The Bible talks about fresh oil that you must receive.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Or else we are in a problem.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
When this soul brought his armor, I bet he had to blow them. Because he has not used them. They were there, worn out. It was good for him when he was a newly king. When he was fighting his way. When Saul was the new king of Israel.
Right.
He fought his way. He was gallant. He was believing the message of his hour.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Then that old expired message is what he gave to David. And David tried for respect's sake, for fear. Put it on.
Amen.
The clothes wore him, not even him wearing the clothes. And they said, move. They don't know what he was thinking. Not that he was stumbling, he was trying to carry his leg. If Goliath would just look at him, just use his spear to pick him off with that thing, and turn him and fling him off, he couldn't move. How could he move?
Right.
This garment, this weapon, were weapon of yesterday, can work today.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
And immediately, he said it. Be able to speak out. Say something. It is not a crime to say no.
Right.
Amen.
There is no harm in saying no. And David said, no, I can't do this.
Amen.
Say, what? How do you want to face this man? I have my sling and this. Nobody ever used this. There must always be a first time for something, brother.
Right.
Amen.
Nobody ever used this in a battle. It is not professional. We don't need professional in this matter. We need a faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need a revelation. We don't need professionals.
Amen. Yes.
And he came up. It's okay. Sign this document that you are going at your own risk. We signed that long ago. The moment we turn our eyes from these paintings of men, we've signed that document long ago.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't paint fires. See the real thing.
Amen.
Feel the heat of the real fire. Amen.
Hallelujah.
David stood before Goliath and brought the word. Nobody ever said that before. You come to me with spears and swords and shield and whatever. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the army, the captain of the army of hosts, whom you defy, of Israel. What did he go with?
5 smooth stones.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all we need.
5 smooth stones.
Amen.
He picked just that one stone. Wonderful. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing. Isn't it a wonderful thing that an ant like David will kill a giant? And he raised the GI in the title of Goliath.
Amen.
Fling it there, Goliath fell. Saul was doing this. When he had, he said, I said it, this boy I've lost. No. King! Okay, Saul, he's done. Goliath is down. You say what? Down? Are you sure? How could he believe it?
Amen.
Can God do a new thing?
Of course.
How could he believe it? But when he stood up, he saw the host of his Jews shouting. He knew that, yes, his time has passed.
Amen.
When God called you to a position, on your way to that throne, on your way to that place, you'll be tested.
Right. Amen.
But first, he must show you glorious things.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In visions. You will see great things. You will see this. You will see that. But the road to it, there are several tests you must pass.
Amen.
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 So we find it. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse. Before we move to this, I'm going to talk to you. Hebrews 12, verse 6.
Hallelujah.
We will now look at the actual testing. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
Amen.
Scourge. To scourge. It's not a very good word. It's not a good word at all. To scourge. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. Why would God scourge us? And why will he chastise us? I'll give you one scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. I wait for you to get there. First Peter. After James. Are you there? Okay. Below. Verse chapter 4, verse 12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. Amen. Think it not strange when ye are faced with fiery trials. Why? Because God, before receiving every son that he receives, he will scourge that son. He will chastise that son. Sonship here, I'm using the sonship as a position. Both brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Amen. He will chastise them. Why does he do this? Because he wants to beat out the bad part out of us.
Amen.
Amen. He wants to beat out the bad part. He wants to build in us godly character. We were born in sin, sharpened in iniquity. We came into this world speaking lies, as the prophet used to say. But then, if we come to start a walk with the Lord, at our coming, we just stumbled and we came to Christ and we are so celebrative. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me. But you are very fat in the spirit. The road cannot take you.
Right.
So that's why everybody's moving. You are just there. You're struggling. No. God is not going to push you in the world.
Yes.
He's going to do the right thing. So what he does is that he brings in that scissors that the gardener uses.
Sure.
Yeah. He said he he will, every tree that bears fruit, he purge, he does it, he prunes it.
Right.
Against the next season to bear more fruit.
Right.
So even when you do well, God is still going to give you some hard trials.
Yes.
So I just say, oh, he is suffering because he sins. He's not, he's beyond that, brother. He's beyond that.
That's right.
Even when you do well, in fact, it is when you do very well, because God has no thank you in his dictionary. Amen. You know, sometimes maybe we did something wonderful. It was then the Lord that used you. And then you came and he said, Lord, the meeting was so good and you're looking at him, so I will tell you thank you. No. There is no thank you and there is no sorry. Have you ever thought of God telling somebody sorry? That's why some of us cry. We cry in his presence so that he will tell us sorry. Please, don't worry, sorry, sorry. No. His word is settled.
Amen.
When you finish crying, clean your eyes, there's a step, a bridge for you to cross. Yes. You have to cross it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's waiting for you over there.
Amen.
So, he will, because you are very fat in the spirit, he has to cut off those unwanted parts. What are these unwanted parts? Some people are very proud, even as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And a proud man cannot pray.
Right.
You said, Buddha, I want you to compare it. Humility is not sober walking. Neither is pride. This, no. But when people are unable to yield themselves to God's authority, that is pride.
Mm-hmm.
I give an example. If a woman is a preacher and she receives the word of God, humility is that she submits back to God. Is that so?
Right.
And she gets out of the pulpit and repents.
Right.
Then she is humble. Then God is dealing with her. Then the excessive part in her has been cut off. But if she doesn't, she is proud. But she can be a woman preacher and ants will be passing like this. She cannot cross them. She will wait until all the ants finish passing. And then she now passes. That doesn't show humility.
Right.
Humility is the response to the word of truth.
Amen.
So we find out that God, he will not say you should squeeze. No. There is no squeezing here. He will cut. And when he's cutting this, it is not very friendly, it's not very fine to you. He cuts. Cut the unwanted part. Maybe you are somebody that you can't be patient about a thing. You know what's the will of God, but you still want to ask him, what's the will, what's the will, what's the will? You, when you ask God, what's the will of God? He asks you, okay, what's the will? Amen. He's not a talkative. He knows that you know the will, but he knows what you're asking. I said, Lord, change the will. So you will cut the unwanted part until you are able to move. And even sometimes you say, Lord, it's okay, I'll manage. There's no management on this road. Let everything be cut off. So gradually, at every junction, there are things we lose. The more closer you get to God, the more you have to live a lot of things. Amen. Our journey is a long journey. Our luggage must be very small. So there is nothing, God will not accept excess luggage. So we find out, as we move, I give an example now. He says that in these trials, your response must be that you must rejoice. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You must rejoice. Now you must come to God and say, Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you because really from your heart, not pretense.
Exactly.
Because if you pretend, you will add more. Yes. I just thank you, Lord, for what I'm going through. I know that you have a purpose. And just, Lord, help me that I see what you want me to see. That's true.
Amen.
In every time that we are passing through this thing, God is showing us something.
Right.
And if we can't see it, we can't get out of it. You know, I give an example, like, your money is not even enough for you. Is that true?
Yeah.
Nobody's money is enough for you. Then God still wants you to be retired. And you can look at it and say, Lord, I know you understand.
this month is a terrible month. I just want to use this money. In future, I will settle you. I can bet you that, one, you will not do what you took that money for. And if you even do it, it will not be successful.
Yes.
And you still be owing God.
Right.
You're in problem. Amen.
Amen.
It's the same thing. So you watch it now. It says here, can we turn our Bibles to Romans? We just look at these things. Romans and chapter 5. When he says we should celebrate, we should rejoice in this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, verse 2 also, we have access by faith into the grace, into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. In tribulations also. Knowing that tribulations worketh patience.
Amen.
How does tribulation work patience? Brother, it's not the magic. It's not that, oh Lord, don't ask God, how does tribulation work patience? When there's tribulation, you'll be patient. That is automatic.
Right.
It's automatic. I can tell you that. Yes, but Lord, how can I be patient, Lord? Give me patience. I've said that to you before, isn't it?
Mm.
Give me patience, Lord. Somebody's praying for patience. And then you think God's patience is in a cup. And the Lord descend the cup from heaven. And you can receive the patience. And you thank you for the patience. There's nothing like that. Lord, give me patience. Okay. Then he puts you in the street.
Yeah.
Gives you a stubborn child. I wasn't like this to my father. Are you sure? I didn't do this to my mother. Are you very sure? He gives you a stubborn child. And he wants you to love the child. I give you this story. In Butuan, this really happened. The first day of the convention I was preaching, and a young girl stood. She was outside. I can see her because the door is like this. She sat and lifted her right leg and put on a young man next to her. Well, at the time I lost concentration.
Yeah.
I lost concentration because I wanted to, I don't know what to do. Should I? Oh, no, I said no. The devil is trying to show me some other thing to distract. Because many a times we find this. If you go to a place to preach, amen, you find that the enemy is waiting just to distract you. Let me put this anyway. When I was in Uganda, I went with Brother Bolas to a particular village, very thick village. And then as we just landed, this man shouted, witches, 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 oh, what is it? Witches will kill us in this village. Witches will kill us in this village. Thank God that you have come. She wants you to talk on witches.
Yeah.
Then I told her, madam, yes, witches will kill you, but that's not what you're here for. So stand aside. And we move, and then she shut up. Do you know the third day when we were praying, that woman, she was a witch. She confessed. But what was she doing? Just to exonerate herself and distract the preacher.
Yes.
So this sister did this. I was looking at her. I looked over and I finished the preaching. The second day I didn't see her. The third day they were driving me and I stopped. I said, stop the vehicle. Come back. And I called her. I said, are you a Christian? And she looked at me. I asked, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, you're a Christian. Okay. How old are you? She said, she's 17. I said, your mates are in the grave. Do you hear me? Your mates are in the grave. And I said, let's go. That same day, I saw where I was praying on the prayer line, and a man came forward, and I asked him, are you a believer? He was offended. I never knew he was a preacher. He was offended. And he said, why do you ask me whether I'm a believer? And I told him what I saw. And then he was still offended. Okay? I left him. Because you cannot be helped. If you, for example, you say, you tell the doctor you're not sick, then what should the doctor or minister administer to you? So in the next morning, I saw him. I asked the brother to invite him to the hotel. He refused to come. After the service, I asked them to invite him. He refused to come. So as they were taking him, I called him. I said, "Brother, come inside the car. Let's talk." Then we drove to the hotel. There, as we were talking, the Lord revealed things that were personal to him. And I told him, God is the only one that has solution. And you shouldn't be thinking of what people are saying. And he said, "My problem, actually, Pastor, is true. It's my daughter." Then I said, "Is she in this convention?" He said, "Yes." Do you know when they called the daughter? It was that day. Would a child of a preacher come and put her legs on another man there while the service is going on? You know that child wouldn't want to do that.
Right.
You know that child wouldn't want to do that. You can say it's the devil. Yes, the work of the devil. But why would the devil do it if it is not that God has allowed something to happen to chastise the father?
Yeah.
And he said, "Brother Max, what do I do now?" I say, "Love your daughter. You become her boyfriend. Let me tell you, push away those things that are taking her. Take over her. You don't want to talk with her. You don't want to see because you are quarreling. She sees something. Show her a better picture. If you cannot handle that small family, how will you handle the whole church?"
Right.
Amen. Rejoice in tribulation. This, we are the only people, only being that God has told this. He doesn't tell angels this. That's why the saints will judge the angels.
Amen.
That's why we'll have a song that will sing that the angels will not join in singing.
Right.
You were saying, "Oh, I am not Job, Lord, don't tempt me like Job, I can't take it." You are taking more than Job, you don't even know. Because the longer the time, the greater the age, the greater the trials that are attached to it.
Right.
But you must understand that God has given you skills in handling these things.
Amen.
When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Do you think he was giving a testimony? Maybe he just finished eating. And they take a lot of vegetables, a lot of meat, beef, chicken. And then when he finishes, he says, "Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want," as you can see. Is that what it was happening?
No.
The man was hungry.
Yes.
Deep in the forest there. No food.
Right.
Nothing. And he had tied belts, the leather belt on his tummy, until there was nothing. The two things, like the Karamojone, has gotten fat. Tied so well like this. And there was no hope of reaching water in the next 10 days. And he was very weak. His strength failed. But he could look up and say, "I know it that the Lord is my shepherd. I know it when he poured that oil upon me, that he did not pour his oil upon me in vain. When he died on the cross, he did not die to mock us. No. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want."
Amen.
David said that. No food. No water. No friend. No peace. No hope. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Yet he's wanting.
Yes.
Yet he's dying. But he reminded God, "Lord, I can take it because you are my shepherd." The shepherd had just chosen a new program that I go without food for 10 days. "Lord, I appreciate you. I thank you because you are my shepherd." And God was looking at me. What type of prayer do we pray when we are faced with challenges? How do we react? Listen, when Jesus was talking about those that are born again, those are born of the Spirit,
He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Can we read that word for word?
Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 8. Look at this. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
I was sharing this to some of our brothers who have chosen to remain in the evening time. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, there's never a time that the people who did not see the revelation of God understood the people who saw the revelation.
Right.
It must be John chapter 3, verse 8.
Right.
You can only know that the wind is blowing, but you can't tell where we are coming from. Uh-huh. You can't predict our behaviors. No. You can't predict it. That when they say, call up and grapple, oh, because of bondage, and they give a dirty slap, and somebody say, oh, react. The world has this expectation how you should react.
Right.
But nobody predicts sons of God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that what David should have said in time of despair? The Lord is my shepherd. In the moment of lack, was that mockery? Was it? Well, I mean, the tummy will say to the mouth, are you mocking us? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He spoke the way he felt. He spoke the way he wanted to feel. Not the condition. He spoke the position.
Right.
We should always not take our focus away from who we are. Amen. Remember first who you are. Then it will tell what you will do.
Amen.
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 Amen. He maketh me to lie down in this pasture. He restored my soul. Because the soul was gone. But even though he does not restore my soul, even though he allowed me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whoever walks in the valley of the shadow of death is a dead man. I will fear no evil.
Amen.
For thou art with me. Thy word and thy spirit, the rod and the staff. The rod is the word. The spirit is the rod. The staff is the spirit in the word. They comfort me.
Amen.
Thy word, thy rod and thy staff. The word and the spirit, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. Who gives you a table, David? You were made to eat on the floor. It's your brothers that are real human beings that are eating on the table. Why do you think about a table? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you think he's calling the enemies to mock them? He's feeding his enemies. God will wait for you until you are able to overcome the issue of human offense and offenses.
Right.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
And they say, yes, we don't know, but we are hitting you. I know we don't know what we are doing. Yes, we are saying the truth. We don't know. We are killing you, but we don't know. Then today, people will be able to say, Lord, you know we don't know what we are doing. Are you sure?
No.
You don't know what you are doing. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It says there that tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. I can tell you this. When God called Moses, he knew the call of God was in his life. But he made a rush. He stood up. He wanted to do it anyhow. You don't do this thing anyhow. You don't travel this journey anyhow.
Right.
Moses stood up. Yes, I know I'm the deliverer. So he held an Egyptian and gave him no way to hit a man, and then he will be down for some time. But when he hit him, he hit beyond, and the man died. And he used sand to cover the body. God has his secret agents, his intelligence services. They are there.
the mosquitoes, the flies, the lizard, they are just there seeing you and you see nobody saw you.
Yes.
After some time, Moses went back to the camp of the Jews. You know, I'm one of you, so you don't need to quarrel. This, that, that, when did you graduate from the law school? Which year was that? And who told you that you are our senator? Or you want to kill us as you kill the news? As you kill who? The news that reached the palace.
Right.
From there, you have to escape. Now, he concluded it is not good to work for the Lord. Why? Because he started wrongly. Mm. Amen. God wants you to learn. He wants you to learn. And you must be taught. When you are taught, then you can stand. Mm-hmm. Amen. He will teach you both by the experience you have and by the experience of others.
Right.
You need to watch those things. Mm-hmm. Then he met God in the wilderness, and God kept him another 40 years and returned him back to Egypt. And he's standing there. He put the rod on the ground and he became a serpent. But did God tell him that other people can do it?
No.
And then the two people came. They put their own rods down and two serpents. Moses, you have one. But patience. If God has spoken to you, learn how to wait.
Amen.
When you pray a prayer, I tell you this now. Lord, break this fine. Give an example. God will break it. Your work is not to be looking. When are you going to be?
Break it.
You're not to watch it. Look at Jesus. He went to the fig tree. Remember?
Right.
The fig tree was not even his time of bringing fruit. But the fig tree pretended that it was his. He had, you know, because he had his leaves. And he said, okay, because there is no fruit, no man eat it from you in his heart. And he passed. When Jesus passed it the next day, do you think he checked the fish?
Mm-hmm.
Believe in God. Believe in the word. But there were carnal men who were around.
They were just looking.
And Peter saw. He don't know what he's doing. He doesn't know it. Jesus, do you see? See what? He wanted to see. What was you showing me? Hey, the leaves, eh? They're turning yellow. Why was he surprised? Because if he was the one who prayed the prayer, that evening he would have come to check.
Right.
Early in the morning he will come to check. I tell you what healing is. For example, maybe you have pain in your body. And whatever it is, maybe it's a growth. And you lay your hands and you pray. You believe. Forget about it.
Right.
When you come to pray again, you have cancelled your prayers. Because you are showing doubt. It's not consistency. You are afraid. You are afraid maybe it didn't work.
Right.
And when you are afraid it didn't work, it didn't work. When you ask, believe.
Amen.
And believe that you shall receive whatever you ask.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when you pray over that thing, forget about it. It can be jumping. You tell me, just tell us around you, forget, see this thing jumping, his jump is an empty jump. Because I have taken the life out of it.
Mm.
Once you have taken a life out of that situation cannot move. In this chastening, God wants you to have a higher understanding.
Mm-hmm.
What is this higher understanding? I have no problem with any man. I'll give an example. If Brother Zuel stand up now and just give me a punch, boom. I have problem with Brother Zuel. Tell us, why did you punch me? But you ask yourself, can he really punch me without a problem? Just like that? Then the first level of your faith, of your Christian faith, you have problem with the person. And you can say, oh Lord, killed out my enemy. If the enemy dies, the spirit that used the enemy will move to another person and they will keep punching you. So you have no man as an enemy. But when you know that there is a spirit behind, you attack the spirit.
Amen.
But behind the spirit, there's another thing. There is God behind it. Sure. I guided thee, Isaiah 45, verse 5 to 7. When thou knowest me not, I, the Lord, I create darkness, I make evil, I make peace. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Amen.
Whatever he does not allow in your life cannot take place.
Amen.
But you have to understand, what is God doing this for? God wants to control our desires. Not forcefully, but he wants us to submit, surrender our desires. That's one difficult part in your lives.
Amen.
There were things I used to look for. Maybe I had this program, just like my sister is saying. Oh, she said, I wanted to be this. Now, God is not going to do it by force. What he does is, at the time comes, he just brings you to a place where you can no longer see those things. He takes the tools of becoming those things away from you. And then you be what he wants you to be.
Amen.
Amen. So, our desires, if we can surrender our desires, then we can manage. It means that we have come to a state of maturity.
Amen.
And then you can see, why is this man not having trials? He has had all his trials. He has passed his tests. You don't call a graduate student to come and write examinations.
Amen.
But you also must pass through your own test. Look at all the Bible. It's been like that, brothers.
Right.
Look at Joseph. All of them, they had one test or the other. Not one, not two, not three. They had to go through it. And when you don't want to go through it, then you don't want to serve God. Say, you must rejoice in this tribulation. You must rejoice in this chastisement. Because God is building in you character. He's building, he's forming the character of God. He's forming the image of Christ in you. The Pentecostals put this, that I may know him. And what? There's a scripture there. Remember the scripture? The man, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Is that so? Did he stop there? That's not where he stopped. But that's what the whole world is quoting. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What about the fellowship of his suffering? What about the fellowship of his suffering? Today I was listening to a preacher. He said he has never suffered in his life. Why will he suffer when he is a bastard?
Right.
Because I will say any man that is not chastised is likened to a bastard.
Right.
It's a free dog in the street.
Yeah.
He can eat anything. The dog will eat feces, he will eat garbage, he will eat all the bean because nobody owns a dog.
Right.
But if you have a dog, even your dog, maybe even want to eat something that you didn't give, you will shout. That's even a dog. How much will a human be?
Right.
I've never suffered in my life. You're a bastard.
Right.
And when the suffering will knock you one day, when one test will come, you will die.
Right.
Little kids, they fall at catch temperature to grow. Are you aware of that?
Mm.
Yes. Once the child wants to have an experience, maybe wants to start working. The other time I was here, Brother Soon's they brought him to the altar to be prayed for. And I said he wants to grow. And he wants to do something. Then he wasn't working. Now he's working. You have to pay a price. You have to let go. What was happening, he has to give up some weight, so that you will be free to leave these guys. And then the ones will come back. Really, God is not taking anything from you. Life is not taking anything from you. Whatever you see, whatever thing that is coming across your way, is just to give a space so that you receive something and you enter back to what you were.
Amen.
So God is building character, godly character in us.
Amen.
Where we can be able to forgive. Where we can be able to tolerate. where we can be able to get back even to those that offended us and try to make peace with them. They were the one that offended us, but we let go ourselves and stretch a hand of help to them. It's putting us in a position where we will see those who dealt badly with us, and then we will feed them. When Joseph saw his brothers, the Bible says he could not hold back. He went and hid himself and cried. And then he came, he could not still hold back. He was trying to pretend and try to get, but all his program cut short. He cried out, he said, "I am Joseph." And he went back. He said, "No, come. If I was to kill you, I would have killed you since you came the first time you came. Come."
Right.
When we have that mind, it doesn't come by learning. It comes because God chastised you. Woe unto the nation whose king is a child. Whose king is a child that has never experienced anything. He's got no experience and is reigning. He will make blunders. Woe to the people whose pastors have never, they never had experience with the work. They will crash. It's a pity. They will crash. In everything, God brings you back. He brings you back to His Word. And the Word is like a mountain. You must climb. But the higher you go, the better the view. The higher you go, the better the view. It's hard to climb, but it's fine to see. What you see will make you want to climb more, even though when you are tired. Keep climbing. Keep going up. Keep keeping your door. Keep ending all the doctrines with a comma. Never you put a full stop, because something is still happening.
Right.
It is part of the chastisement.
Right.
Brother, I tell you that. I can tell you this, that if we say that everything has been done, our church will increase.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more friends.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more embrace. We'll have more handshake.
Right.
And they will speak well about us. Show me any time
right.
that God sent a people and they spoke well of them.
That's right.
Show me. Tell me why Elijah and Elisha were living in caves instead of living with the king in the palace. But they were prophets living in the palace. Living just there. They were spiritual advisors of the king. And they were their hundreds.
Yes.
And they had thus says the Lord. Is that also?
Yes.
They had it. But they should check the content of the thus says the Lord.
Right.
Because God is setting traps also for some people.
Right.
Yes. When Moses hit the rock against the will of God, did water come out?
Yes.
Don't let the water deceive you. God is very interested in His command, in His word.
Amen.
Say, that's the command of the Lord.
Amen.
Speak to the rock. Don't strike it.
Mm-hmm.
Dear brothers and sisters, listen. What I'm just telling you in to summarize is, let go of yourself.
Mm.
Let go of the little ego that is remaining in you. Rebecca, when she sighted Isaac, far she came down.
Right.
Whatever degree I have, she said, she came down to the room and picked up a garment, covered her face. What does it mean? I am no head of mine, for in the head is the eye. I can't see anything. I can't hear. I can't smell. I can't speak. I can't feel. Let Isaac speak for me. Let Isaac hear for me. Let Isaac smell for me. Let Isaac feel for me. She gave total surrendering.
Amen.
And came, she came, put herself before Isaac. Whatever is remaining. You know, I was looking at certain things. Before, many of us, we have these policies. You know, just self-styled policy. People, I can't do this. 7 o'clock, I must be this. I can't eat when it's 9 o'clock. You say that because you are just around yourself.
Yes.
When the Lord will corner you in a corner, when the Lord will put you in a corner, in a street, in a fix, you eat at 1 a.m. And you, in fact, giving thanks to God that you saw it. Not that there's going to be a lack. It can put you.
Right.
You've seen people, they were traveling and the plane delayed for something and then their policy is broken.
Don't draw a line. Keep your life open. The Lord is still meeting people.
Amen.
Keep your life open. Whatever is remaining, whatever self-styled will, keep it open. Keep everything open. Because He is still testing you because you've not gotten there yet. I have not gotten there yet. Paul said, that which I have attained, I leave behind. I look forward for a greater and high calling, a mark of a high calling. He's pressing forward. Press forward. Brothers, let us learn how to pray.
Amen. Right.
If you pray more in the secret, you will only speak word in the open.
Amen.
And things will happen.
Amen.
If you spend more time with God, speak better with God and stammer with men, it's better. But there will be results. Let men not see even what you are. What is. We don't even understand him. What is it? What is, can't even understand what he's saying. Yes, it's better. As far as they don't understand what you are saying, they keep you at bay. But have good communication with God. Barefoot. Ask my sister, they say, have you started preaching to your husband? Wives whose husbands are not believers, be extra kind to him. The Peter said it is your life that will transform them.
Right.
But if you have become a Christian and he has looked at you, since you become this Christian, there's no more saying, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. But go extra miles. Sacrifice extra miles.
Amen.
Let the person begin to ask questions. You are changing these days. What is the secret? The secret is an experience.
Amen. That's right.
An experience. So let us try as much as we can to seek the Lord. Let us seek Him as if we have not found Him yet.
Amen.
Yeah, because there's a greater part of Him that we are not seeing.
Uh-huh. Right.
Every time God came close to Abraham, He had something to correct in his life.
Mm.
Same thing with us. Get closer. Get deeper. Get deeper. Spend time. That prayer you pray today, even when you think you don't need it, shall stand for you in the future.
Amen.
Don't go stand in the front of a bridge, in the front of a river, and try to build an emergency bridge. That's why a man prays with fear. Pray now. I used to tell people, since we who are parents, that child is very small. Pray now concerning her marriage in the future. It's not a waste. Pray now concerning what they will choose. Pray now concerning the kind of life they will live. When you get to that time, when that time comes, Bible tells that Corinthians, your prayers have been come to God as a memorial. It means it was kept in store.
Right.
But now it's useful. So God is testing us, He's chastising us. We should be patient. Be patient with the Lord. We should check out the program of God and support it. Very importantly, I have to tell you this. Check out the program. Sometimes, maybe if God given to you as a vision, you can ask the pastor, what does he have in mind? Is the Lord willing anything to be done? It could be that your prayer will give one boost. Is there anything we could be praying for you for? Need to know this.
Right.
You need to do it. It's very important. Amen.
Amen.
If we know these things and if we do it, then we'll be blessed.
Amen.
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 May the Lord bless us.
Amen.
And keep us and strengthen us.
Amen.
And give us the grace to face life, to take control of life. Because actually, we are in control.
Amen.
Any man with the Holy Ghost is in control.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Amen. We can just bow our heads. If you have any requests, just as you are seated down there,
You can just lift up your hand to the Lord.
Glory, glory.
If you have any request in your heart, if you are faced with any thing that you don't understand,
hallelujah.
It is, you have tried to figure it out, but it is escaping you. Then you cannot trap that thing in your spirit. I want you to lift up your hands. Just sit down in this process. Lift up your hand. Father, we declare that we love you. We declare our everlasting love for you. My Savior, we declare that we love you. We declare our everlasting love for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this testimony meeting that we are having today. Lord, and you have told us about your chastisement, how that you tested every son that comes to you. It is not to destroy us, but it is important that we might be pruned and set down for the next level. Lord, I pray your sons and daughters are lifting up their hands concerning situations that are barricading them at this moment. Maybe they have prayed, maybe they have talked, maybe they have told people about it, maybe they have kept it as a secret, Lord. But Father, this moment there is an anointing. The anointing has special grace this moment. And I release it in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord, the burdens will be lifted. And grace will suffice in the life of your children. Lord, I pray.
Hallelujah.
May it never occur to them.
Bless you.
May they never come to think that you have left them.
Yes.
Because you never, you say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I pray, Lord, that you will stand and show yourself and give them an encouragement and give them the grace to overcome. For you say that with that same temptation, you will make a way of escape.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
I speak to the marriages of your children.
Amen.
Wherever there is confusion,
amen,
you are not an author of confusion.
Right.
Lord, let there be deliverance in that home.
Amen.
Let there be peace from above. I speak, Lord, to the career of your children.
Praise,
I speak to the father-children relationship,
amen,
the mother-children relationship. I speak, oh God, that Lord, you will break every interference of Satan. I speak, Lord, concerning everything that they touch with their hands to take food and money to their pocket. I pray, Lord, that Satan will not have a hand in their business.
Amen.
I speak, Lord, concerning, Lord, their Christian faith that you have called them to work. I pray, Lord, that they will not hear strange voices.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
If men could trust in an aeroplane that today lands successfully, tomorrow it crashes, how much more, Lord,
yes,
can we ever trust you?
Yes.
That you are more than able to,
amen,
take us,
amen,
to the place that you have prepared.
Glory, glory.
Lord,
yes,
put your torchlight in the families of your children.
Hallelujah.
And break every hardened heart.
Hallelujah.
Lord, and soften every heart that is hardened.
Yes.
Make, oh Lord, your children's marriage to be sweet.
Amen.
Soften their marriage in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we pray, Father Lord, that there will be,
Lord,
better understanding from this moment.
Amen.
As the husband will see the wife, as the wife will see the husband, Lord, there shall be a change.
Amen.
This woman, Lord. We pray for as many that are not here, but they may be having problems in their marriage. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will feel, Lord, and they're an overturning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, Lord.
Glory, glory.
Give us the grace to endure. Give us the grace to quickly learn what you want us to see, that will not suffer for long, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask your mercies and your blessing and your healing to your people, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for our children. They shall not be misled. In their academics, Lord, they will be different from other children. We separate them from the children of Singapore. Lord, they are heavenly made. They are given to us from above. Lord, I pray that our children shall be for signs and wonders as promised. Let your name be glorified. And I pray for any family here that is in need of the fruit of the womb of a child, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you will release your grace unto them. May they receive it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For we pray with thanksgiving, believing by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. The event that happened in Nigeria. Back in 1992 when I first went to Nigeria. And there I was supposed to be the main speaker and also in Ghana, but the church back then, you know, I mean, we have come through a long way. You imagine after the passing away of the prophet in 65. And then we have all these Americans and Canadian and European missionaries, because after all they are the first world country that have contact with communications and things like that. And here we are in the East. China, India, Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia and the Philippines. Brother Abraham never been this far the world, except the further he has been was in Mumbai. You remember in Mumbai, I think he was there for 5 years, 7 days, and after that, the mayor of the city was so happy to see what miracles have taken place that I don't know how many, 7 trucks, I'm not missing, I think it's 7 trucks, correct me if I'm wrong, but anyway, trucks of clutches and wheelchairs were thrown onto that and were paraded in the streets, because when Brother Brown went there, a lot of people left the hospital, in fact, the church where I've been to, where he preached, was facing the hospital. And their hospital was empty of patients. They all came to the meeting and they walked out. So that's the furthest I know he had been. And of course, South Africa and the other part of the world. But he had never been to this part of the world, in the east of India. So here we do not know anything. Obviously, we don't know. I heard about the message of Brahma. I don't know anything about, I mean, heard about ministry, but know nothing about the message. Because never heard of it. Though I know the man. So after he passed away, of course, this ministry or the message was carried across by different men, and everybody had different opinion. And so it takes a long time that the Lord still, he was still moving back then after Barbam left. You know, let the word goes up. And he knows that, because he knew back then, of course, that the word that were carried by these preachers, they all have their ideas too. And so, but the word had to be preached then, you know. And so we came over here into Singapore, and message came in the late 60s and early 70s and so on. And so when I went over to Nigeria and met up with all these ministers and preached the word and shared with them the truth, there was so much confusion that I told the Lord I will never come back to Nigeria until something good happened. And that is what I told the Lord. So I will never come back unless something happened. Something good happened. So something good did happen, you know, since 90 something, and I think I went back to Nigeria. I was to go to Benin. And so before I went to Benin, somehow Brother Billy Joseph had this book called The Cradle of Confusion. Right? Is that right? Cradle of Confusion. Yeah.
Those killing the message.
And he sent me a copy and I read it. Of course, he mentioned my name. Dan was saying, because he was telling, where were all these men, Richard Gann, Jackson, and all this, when the prophet was around?
But anyway, it was a very good book. You know, and I wrote it for a few. And even put it on our website for those who wanted to get this book to get it from him. So it was after a while that when I was invited to Benny, because Benny was just next door. So I wrote him a letter. I said, Brother Billy, you want me to come over? Since I'm going next door, you know, the nation next door. He said, yes, Brother, please come. So I went. But you know, I was deported back because of the visa problem. So when I was deported back, I was there, flying there, sitting at the airport, and I was sent back from Lagos. It was all, of course, there was some miscommunication. Well, when I came back, I walked into the home. My wife said, you have to go back. They are calling here. You have to go back. I said, I just came back. More than 24 hours, I'm dead tired. And I already told the Lord, I said, don't need to go. You know? I said, no, you have to go. But the people in Benin have already advertised in the TV media, in the newspaper, and you were supposed to have a public meeting in the stadium. I said, no. So, anyway, I stood at the door and I said, praise the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, you got to go back. So I took the phone and called my travel agent. I said, you know what happened, right? Because they have the news, you know, they have the travel agent, everything is on the computer. He said, yeah. I said, no, can you fix me to go back there as soon as possible? He said, okay, we'll fix back. Fix you. And so it was, I think I landed back on Saturday, and then Monday I flew off. And instead of going back to Lagos, I flew straight to Benin first. You know, so, because the travel agent that you met yesterday, he merely called the Nigerian embassy where he had a consulate to tell them please give him a visa. And it's not easy to apply for the visa there. But so I was able to get the visa. So I flew to Benin straight away there. And then Brother Billy Joseph and some other minister from the place moved over to Benin to hear me preach. And I preached on that message called Sorcery. It was a series. I didn't even know when I was preaching there, as I said, that Benin was actually a cradle of voodooism. And I was preaching about witchcraft and all these things in the public. So later on, I came to know. So later on, when we were to go back to Nigeria through the land, through the road, Brother Billy Joseph told me, said, Baraka, can you preach this whole series again to my people and the people in Nigeria? I said, okay, no problem. So I preached on that sorcery. So it was there that, everything changes for Brother Billy and so on. Now, it was sometime back already in the, early 2000. Now, when it started my heart, all of a sudden, that I received this email from one of the believers in Nigeria that, Brigham, you know, Brother Billy Joseph have preached against you and this and that. And I was kind of upset. I called him straight away and he was telling me, he said, oh, brother, I'm just looking to the contender, Brother Jackson, you know, and I feel that there's something about the chief apostle. I said, no, brother, please move away from that. You know, so he said, no, I'm not identified with that man yet, the other man over in Nigeria. So I'm just looking into it. I said, okay, you be careful. But so I left that, and then after a while, of course, all these confusions came out and what that other man had done to create all this chaos. And this brother here, he wrote me email, and then he called me on the phone and said, Berger, you've got to do something. And I was telling him, what do you want me to do? you know, of course, I said, what do you want me to do? You know, I said, the word of God has gone forth. And you're the devil using somebody else and to create this situation of chief of song, leading apostle, and so on and so on and so forth, and they can attack my message, which I've not even known this man in the first place. So they attack my doctrine and influence the others to reject what I've taught according to scripture. You know, I always like to hold it in the hand of the Lord. You know, you see, It is always like that, because whenever there is a problem, we want to help those people who are caught up in the problem. You know, but I wasn't there in Nigeria to see the first hand of what he saw.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know how bad it was. I know that those who was once with me decided to disassociate with me and went with the other one into all this error. You know, and I was just saying, well, leave it to the hand of the Lord, and you know, what can I do? Well, nothing else can be done, but the Lord, you know the truth. He said, though I prayed, of course, for those ministers. But when he told me, coming on the phone, he says, Brother, you need to do something. I said, do what? Write something. The way he said it, you know how he said it. Write something. I said, okay, I will pray about it. You know, before I hang up, I was praying. I really don't know what to do. He said, Robert, you want me to write? What is it so bad? What need to write? It was for a few days later that I sat down. And the first word that comes to my mind was the word really good. You see? So from there on, I wrote that. I took all the books of the other man and go through the arrow, the thing that he has twisted out of context of the Bible, and put it in its place. You know? Though you all know I have preached on these doctrines before, but it was only a really good book that was written that I have explained it more in detail. You see, sometimes it's like that. So the Lord desired for me to do that, so I wrote that book. And it was written was quickly written anyway, which I think was the fastest book I ever written. And with the help of course my son and Sister Janice tried to do some editing. So, you know, we are in this situation. God, the Word of God being precious to us, we don't want to see it destroyed. You see. But sometimes you cannot help it. Here in every country, back in the days of Paul, Paul preached to all those. Look at, he mentioned the name Alexander, the coppersmith, Philetus and Hymenaeus, right? These are people. They are close to Brother Paul. You know. And they will turn around and reject it and come up with crazy ideas. The resurrection is over. It's gone. Everything is over. You know. But you know it isn't. But they have destroyed the faith of many. So all Paul did what he could do is to bring that message to them and warn about these certain people. Is it? And the rest is in God's hand how he would deal with each and every one of us. I want to say further one thing. Every one of us know who our enemy is.
That's true.
Right? We all know our enemy. Who is our enemy? It's not a believer or somebody else who disagree with you and things like that, but we know our enemy is sin. Denomination know who the enemy is. They all know Satan is the enemy. Correct. But do you know how the enemy works? That is a problem that we need to know. You see, same thing in the end time message people around the world. Yeah, we know the enemy. We know the enemy. But how do the enemy work? Do you know? Enemy like God, they work through men.
Through man.
God works through his minister. The enemy also works through minister who claim to be God's preacher. And you go around deceiving this and that. And you cannot help, but you need to know, as Paul said, those who labor among you.
Amen.
Do they labor in the way that God wants them to labor? Do they labor in the word, in truth? Or do they labor for future lookout? For popularity? For money? That is something you and I need to know. And history will always repeat.
Yes.
And if you ignore history, then you have a problem. Why do you think God put this word out here? They are history. God said about the bad things. Have the bad things record about David's sin, right?
Yes.
Abraham's iniquity. Moses' failure. Isn't that right?
That's
why
right.
Do you think he put it there? Peter's failure. History. And he said, Brother God, please don't tell ask me about history. I heard that over and over again. Let me tell you something. There are people that never heard it. They'll never hear. You know the Bible said, bring this thing to your remembrance. You will have to hear history. Always to learn and keep in remembrance. We read about Paul's admonition. Remember, mark this man, Alexander, Philetus, Hymenaeus. So we have all these other characters in the Bible that we know. We need to know. So that we can realize that how the devil used instruments to manipulate. Yes. If we don't, we will never understand. That's why the denomination never understand. They said, we know the enemy. We know the enemy. But they don't even know what they have been caught up with. Their pastor. Their system. And they think that because they have been there in that church for 10, 20 years, or maybe when they were grow up as a kid, They feel obligated to that church, to that pastor. Let me tell you this, brother and sister. In this church, I tell you, many of you are not obligated to me. Anytime I say anything that is wrong, you better get away from me.
That's true.
You better get away from me. That's true. I went to the Philippines, India, all these places to preach. They are associated with us. We help them however we can. Books, clothing, sometimes a little aid when there is some, maybe like famine or maybe like a flooding, you know, we send some money and help them. And I told them, brother and sister, I told the minister, you are not obligated to me. The money that here we send as an offering from this church to help you in time of need. Don't because we help you with this, that you feel that you need to say, oh, I must always stop with Brother Gunn. Don't!
Don't.
The moment I speak anything that is not the word of God, you better leave me. Because your soul
is more precious.
Yes, more precious.
Amen. Amen.
What if that people still feel they're obligated to their pastor, their sister. They're attached to a brother or sister because they're close in the church. You know? I want to leave. You don't want to leave. Okay, then we stick together. You know? You got to go where food is. That's what Brother Abraham said. You find the best teacher you can find and you stay with him. What are you going to learn? God's church has never been without a ministry. God's church has never been without an anointing. The pillar of fire is still here.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't think that the pillar of fire has gone somewhere. People always don't understand. You know, they say, oh, Brother Abraham, this pillar of fire. They always ask me this, who are you, Brother again? Brother Abraham was vindicated. Who are you? Are you vindicated? I say, you want to see a hell on my head, is it? But don't matter. People, you're going to have seen it during the ministration of the word. The what they call the pillar of fire. Even in the Philippines. And I told them that it is not for me, it is for you. Because the pillar of fire has never left the church. Where the word of God is preached, the pillar of fire is always there.
Amen.
You don't have to say, you see, I need the camera to take a picture of it. What is that? The more that we see all this, you know, all this supernatural light and all of it, the more we are attached to the man. That's the thing about it. Do you know what Abraham talked about that the pillar in the fire here? The son saw it, he said, don't put it up. Don't, just keep it. People always get excited to all these signs. Because you see, that vindication of Brother Abraham Hello, or what he said, was a public show. To show the world, this man preached the truth against the other one. Okay? Everybody's talking about that thing. And he was even hanged in Washington Hall. You see, yeah? Yes. But then, when God showed all these other things that comes along, this other, like, people still get excited. They want to see more. And then what they see, they get attached to Brother Branham. They cannot pull themselves away from the flesh of the man. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Sure. The same thing Paul said. We see Jesus no more.
Amen.
Right? We don't see him no more in the flesh. But we see Jesus.
Yes.
In the spirit. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe.
Amen.
It's the faith. The revelation that you receive means more than say, oh, Jesus, Jesus. That's what Brother Jackson had that dream about, you know, the pyramid rock, and Brother Ben dipped that top off. And then Brother Ben stood away. Brother Ben said, look at this thing and stay on it. Everybody came and Brother Ben went off into the sunset. Then they turned around. Where's Brother Ben? Oh, Brother Ben! Where's Brother Ben? You see, they're looking for the flesh of the man. But he's finished. And he's gone over. He had dug out the top of the stone and said, look at this stone that had never seen the light of the sun. Fresh, white, pure. Stay on this. They all look at it. But you know, after a while, he just need to look at Brother Branham. But he couldn't find him. Where is Brother Branham? Look to Jesus. He's still here. It's not the man. We thank God for Paul, Wesley, Luther, John Knox, Arrhenius, Polycarp, all these men. Is that right? But we don't hold to the flesh. We hold to Jesus.
Amen.
Neither do we hold to the flesh of Jesus.
No.
Because we hold him as the spiritual rock.
Hallelujah.
The word of life. Amen. God bless you. Let us stand and sing.